Okay, topic today, Halacha's stance on abortion. Let's be clear that today's discussion is the Halachic stance. This isn't a political discussion. At the end, I'll elaborate a little more on why not, but we're going to be focusing on abortion in Halacha. And let's be aware that this is a topic that can fill many books and has filled many books. Many, many books were written on this topic. So it's very adventurous for us to try to summarize it in an hour shir, but we are going to do our best. We're going to start with Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal. Around 1990, he was asked to testify in the Knesset what the halachic stance in abortion is. So if we wanted to share on what the halachic stance of abortion is in this yeshiva, that is a very good place to start. So the first few sources are going to be what he said, paying attention to the sources he cites so we can be conversant in them, and then we'll discuss the sources cited by various other tshuvot on the topic. So Rav Lichtenstein began by saying it's very clear there's some kind of isser involved in abortion. And how is that clear? Well, we go to source one. The Mishnah in Olot says the following: Ha'isha shaya machshel leled mechatchin et avlad v'meyeha motzin ota ivarim ivarim mipnei shechaya kodmin lechayav. If a woman is having a difficult pregnancy, she's having trouble giving birth, so they cut up the fetus inside her in order to take it out limb by limb, because her life comes first. In other words, as long as it's still a fetus, and her life is at risk, so we kill it. Yatsa rubo ein nogin mo she'ein dochin nefesh mipnei nefesh. But if she already started giving birth, meaning so now the baby is coming out, and somehow at this point, while the baby is half in, half out, somehow her life is in danger. The doctors assess this woman, if we don't kill this baby, this woman's going to die. All of a sudden, it is no longer so simple. Yatsa rubo, ein nogin bo, she'ein dofin nefesh mipnei nefesh. We don't say, well, this person's going to, should live and this person can die. We never choose. When there's two people who are alive, we don't say, well, let's choose this person. Okay? That's true in, you know, it's relevant to many areas of halacha. Without getting into the topic of organ donation or something, we don't say, meaning there are those who consider brain death, but there are those who don't. But according to the ones who don't, we don't say, well, even with these organs, this guy's going to live another year. And this person, if he gets that organ, is going to live 30 years. We're not going to take it from him and give it to them. Meaning, according to that shita. So the point is that we never choose between two full people to decide which one of them lives. That's clear. That when it's two full people, we don't. The question is, obviously for abortion, is what happens when it's a fetus? So, the first case allows it. Right, the Isha Shemacha Lili, it's only because it's a threat to the mother's life. So the inference we're supposed to make from that is without that factor, it's Husser. And what kind of Isser is it? So Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal said, though there is a view that it's Midr Abanam, beyond Torah principles such as Asita Yashar V'atov, Kedoshim Te'yu, and V'alach Debidrachov, but he said, however, in my opinion, this view should not be accorded serious weight, not only because it is disturbing from a moral point of view, but because it also seems to contradict an explicit halacha. And what halacha does that contradict? So for that, we go to source 2 and 3. In source 2, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Nun Zayin Amud Bet, tells us the following. Eshkach Rabbi Yaakov Bar Acha, Dehava Ketiv B'Sefer Gadatan Beirav, Ben Noach Nerak V'dayin Echad U'Be'en. Even though we all know that to kill a Jew, to say we saw him murder, We saw him do something, and now he's Chaim Mita. So how many Edom do we need? On page 9 Edom, you need 2 Edom. And we have a whole series of rules to make sure, and Hatra, all those rules. So when it comes to, and we need a Bezin of Chav Gimel, if you learn Sanhedrin, you need 23 judges there in order to do a to judge a case of capital punishment. So that's true regarding a Jew. When it comes to a non-Jew, we are able to administer the capital punishment even with a single judge, even with a single witness. And the Gemara then says, "Mishum Rabbi Yishmael Amru Afalu Ubarin." Not only do we kill a non-Jew with one witness or one judge, we would even kill a non-Jew for killing a fetus. Okay, stay with me. What don't we do for a Jew? We don't kill a Jew for killing a fetus. So a non-Jew is chayav mita for killing a fetus, while a Jew is not. My time, the Rabbi Yishmael, the Chetiv, Shofech dam adam, adam damo yishafech, pasuk in Noach, that if you kill somebody, your blood should be spilt. But that's literal. But what is the pasuk's lashon, Shofech dam ha'adam be'adam? Be'adam can be taken literally. Who's a person who's inside a person? Ha'adam be'adam. Ha'viyomer ze ubar shibimeye imo. So Rabbi Yishmael tells you that a ben Noach who does an abortion is a murderer, is chayev mita. This is Paskin by the Rama, this is Paskin by the Shulchan Aruch. That is the rule. So, what about for a Jew? Comes source 3, and this is Gemara and Chulin. There's a similar statement in our context, actually in Sanhedrin, but the Gemara rejects the possibility. There's no such thing as something that's usher for a guy, but mutter for a Jew. So therefore, we know that it must be usher. It's usher for a guy. He is chayav mita. So it can't be mutter for a Jew. So therefore, Rav Lichtenstein rejects, based on this, the idea that it would only be usher mida rabbanan. It must be some kind of isser doraita. So then, what is the isser? And so for that, I made you a chart. Because, again, we could just fill the time reading his testimony, but I wanted to summarize it so we can see more of the sources involved. But he offers 4 potential issues as to what could be the reason for an isser on abortion, or a reason to not abort a baby, not abort a fetus. And within those 4, there might be a breakdown based on what part of the pregnancy they apply. And finally, within each of those reasons, when you might be lenient. For example, if it's murder, when are we mater murder? Koach nefesh. That's it. Meaning, we wouldn't allow it in other cases. But if the issue is more minor, for example, when are we mater somebody to eat non-kosher? Let's say that were the issue involved. It's not the issue involved. We would allow that for somebody's health, right? It's not only like direct threat, but even for various other needs. So, meaning somebody's going to be sick, we would allow them, not only somebody who's going to die. So how wide we can be matir this isser will depend on what the reason is for the isser. So, 4 potential issues. And also, just to quickly go over the time periods. The time periods when these isser might apply is either right away, immediately after conception, meaning up to 40 days. The second time period would be from 40 days until after the first trimester. So from 40 days to 3 months. Then the third time period is after the first trimester, and that would be almost until the 4th period, which he referred to as the quickening of fetal movement. He points out that the only one actually mentioned in the Gemara is the one for 40 days. For example, let's say a woman had a fetus, meaning she conceived, and within 40 days it died. So she was pregnant for a few days, basically. So the next child could still be a bechor. Up to 40 days, it's not really considered anything. And therefore, then the next time she gets pregnant, she carries to term and has a boy, and it's natural birth, and, you know, not all the things that you need, it could still be a pidyon haben even. Okay, it's still a bachor, it gets double portion, whatever the various rules about bachor are. So that's about 40 days. Now, some of you might know that sometimes the Gemara talks about 3 months. So Rav Lichtenstein was aware, he says that's about recognizing pregnancy, it's not about the viability of the fetus. As in the Gemara comments that you can see that a woman is pregnant at about the 3 month mark. So, okay, what are the four potential areas for which you might say that abortion is problematic? Number one is very clearly homicide. Ritzicha, yes?
What was the quickening of failure? How far in is that hazard?
Okay, we'll get to that in a little bit. Okay. So, the first issue is homicide. Ritzicha, killing. We said that, based on source 2, that the guy gets killed for killing a fetus. And we said that it can't be that there's something that's usher for a guy, but yet mutter for a Jew. So it must be usher for the Jew. So what we're saying is that it's usher for the Jew. We might not get killed for it, but that doesn't make it not forbidden. There are a lot of things that we're not allowed to do, and it's not always punishable by death. Agreed? Okay, so, if the issue is homicide, and we said a Ben Noach is Chayav, so when would that apply? So Rav Lichtenstein said that would apply when the fetus would have independent viability outside the uterus, even if it's still inside, meaning, but at that stage, where had it been born, it could potentially live. Sure. Ben Noach is chayav for its ability for independent viability outside the uterus. The betur, so a Jew is exempt from the onesh because it's still a fetus, but not the Ben Noach. But earlier, before that stage where it can live outside, and it's not viable outside the womb, there wouldn't be a problem. So in Rav Lichtenstein's words, it would be logical to assume that such an abortion would not be classified as an act of murder. Murder, it would appear, is defined as the termination of currently existing life and not the curtailment of potential life. Therefore, it would seem that the prohibition of murder proper should be limited to the latter part of pregnancy, practically speaking, more or less the last trimester. I do offer the caveat, though, it was published in his lifetime while he was aware. He gave the testimony in Hebrew. It's been published in Hebrew. I'm working on the translated remarks, and I give you the link in source 4 if you ever wanted to look up his full the full article. So, Rav Lichtenstein said this Ritzicha problem would only be the last trimester. In my chart, I point out that some disagree because you'll see that there are many, we're going to come across tshuvos that say because it's Ritzicha, you can't do it even beforehand. But Rav Lichtenstein is saying that specifically if the issue is homicide, it's only homicide when it's something that is alive, would be alive, independent outside the woman. Yes?
Is the independence outside of the woman on the fetus's own, or given any kind of technological apparatus that exists to allow that?
I think on its own, meaning obviously you have to milk it and feed it and stuff because babies can't do that on their own, but I think it's saying that it would live. If it was born, it would live. So, what would be the heterim in these circumstances? So, only actual pikuach nefesh. Some, he said, might include apostasy or psychological danger, but he says that means like actual insanity. Not just frustration, nerves, etc. So he says, when this applies, which he again says, the last trimester. So who asked me when the quickening of fetal movement was? So he's saying that's the last trimester. Abortion is sanctioned only when a life is in danger, or according to some, the sanity is threatened. I should point out, though, that those who include sanity in this Hagdara, where did they discuss sanity as being part of it? In Hilchos Kashrus or Shabbos, not murder. In other words, just like we allow you to violate Shabbos for somebody's sanity, or to allow them to eat treif for somebody's sanity, we don't say that. We allow them to kill for insanity. That we don't say. So Shabbat, we are matir even for probably saving a life. Like if there's a chance you could save this guy's life, we still allow you to drive to the hospital. We wouldn't allow you to murder for a chance to save this life. So he like sort of cautions that yes, pikuach nefesh may include a little bit more, but realize it has to be definite or real, and not just like some minor irritation. Yes.
Whose life takes preference, the mothers or the kids?
When they're both alive, or while it's a fetus, because we just read the Mishnah in source one that until it's yatsa rubo, until it's out, it's still a fetus. So her life takes precedence.
So before it's born is considered
her
not life. No, it's considered not life.
Well, you're putting words in my mouth, and we're going to deal with that. Okay. Yes.
Can you clarify what's the quickening of the fetal movement and what's the last one?
So he used that term quickening of fetal movement at the beginning, but then he keeps referring to it as the last trimester. So I'm saying that the two. I don't know if it's exactly on day, this first day of the seventh month, but sometime around then.
Assuming at that time it's considered halachically more law than before.
Yes, and therefore, if the issue of abortion is murder, that is when it applies.
What does the quickening of fetal movement even mean?
At a certain point, that inside the mother,
it
moves more than just still forming its limbs. Shatovah, Bitov Zmano, when you have a pregnant wife, you'll see that, at the beginning, it doesn't kick yet. At a certain point, the baby starts doing things. Okay, so that was issue number one. Issue number two is what he refers to as either Sraf Ritzicha or Snif Ritzicha. As in, sometimes Chazal refer to things as being tantamount to murder, like Shvich Adamim, Avitzrayu ha murder. For example, one such thing, we refer to that as Hashchatat Zera Levatala, spilling seed. Spilling seed is tantamount to murder. So, this would be a case. This person's seed actually made a life. The semen met the egg, fertilized, now there's a fetus, and you are so what greater form of wasting seed is there than the most vibe, meaning millions of cells didn't make it, this one made it, and this is the one you're stopping. Yes.
That potential life, that's not actual life.
Okay. But
so that's not what Rav Lucas says.
Where? Who says it's potential life?
You said you can only if it's potential life.
Where?
I don't know, you're saying Rav Lucas.
He's saying Srach Ritzicha is things that are tantamount to killing. The Gemara refers to Ashchatat Zera as being Kishofei Dhamim. It is like killing. So if the reason for abortion could be like killing. It's not killing, but like killing. So, he points out that some say, for example, if the issue is Ashchatat Zera per se, so the Chazon Ish Paskinder said that Ashchatat Zera is only at the time of its emission, when it happens, meaning it wouldn't be an Isser afterwards. So he said, so then we can say 40 days. But if it's literally Hashkatat Zera, then it would apply right away. So this applies either right away or after 40 days. But in other words, most of the entire pregnancy, this would apply. When would we matir this? Well, we have a case in the Gemara. The Gemara refers to someone as being Meshameshet B'moch. Meshameshet B'moch means that she has intercourse using cotton. This was a form of their birth control. So, who are the people who are allowed to use birth control? One of the Gemara's examples is a pregnant woman is allowed to be Meshameshet B'moch. They had an idea that she might get pregnant again, and that would be dangerous for her or her fetus, and therefore she would be allowed to use this form of birth control. So Rav Lichtenstein does say, making a small assumption, why did Chazal allow it? That they allowed it for normal family life, as in routine, as part of marriage. People have relations, and in order for them to be able to have relations, she's allowed to use the birth control, meaning as opposed to saying that this is part of the Chiyuv Ona, which is a biblical requirement, meaning he's saying, even for just being normal, we would sometimes be matur this. So it would seem to me that issues such as Kavod HaBriot, Shalom Bayit, and Tsar, which all carry significant halachic weight in other contexts, should be considered in making these decisions. Those are his words again, which is something that's rather hard to define. But therefore, if the issue is not Ritzicha, but Srach Ritzicha or Snif Ritzicha, so then there are heterim available in certain cases for Kavod HaBriot, Shalom Bayit, or Tsar, her pain. The third issue that could be the reason abortion would be usher is what's called chavala. Chavala, chovel v'chavero, to hit someone. So we're not talking about homicide, but an isser, but it's usser-like intentional injury. Now, there's two possibilities why this would be true. It's either because it's usser to intentionally harm the fetus, or because what we say, ubar yarech imo, it's a limb of the mother, which is not to be dismembered unnecessarily. In other words, it is usser for you to chop off your finger, given that your finger is wonderful and healthy. If you have a diseased, you know, gangrene finger, so then it becomes mutter to chop it off. So we don't unnecessarily do that if it's because it's part of the mother, so then just like we wouldn't chop off her leg, we wouldn't kill this fetus. Or alternatively, because it's intentionally to harm the fetus. So if it's because of the fetus, he says 40 days is reasonable. Earlier doesn't make sense. And the later stages, again, since he says the only one really in the Gemara is the 40 days, they're not clear enough to apply.
I mean, after 40 days.
No. Meaning, up to 40 days, you can do it. After 40 days, the Isser of Chavala would apply. Okay? But he says, if it's to not hurt the mother rather than to not hurt the fetus, 40 days is irrelevant, and because before 40, she's what the Gemara in Yevamo refers to as Maya Ba'alma, the fetus is just mere liquid, and it doesn't injure her. So what point does it injure her? And for that, you might go to the three-month date. Since Sukar Ura, this is the point at which it's known she's pregnant, so at 3 months, it would be wrong to, at that point, you could say you're not injuring Maya Ba'alma, you're injuring her. And since we wouldn't injure her for no reasons, so that applies after 3 months. So, if the issue is Kabbalah, what are the heterim? If it's injuring the mother, it's permitted when it's for her benefit, just like a surgery, just like any other surgery. If the whole point of, if the reason it's usher is because you can't hurt her, so we don't hurt people. That's true. But what if it's helping her? So then it would be allowed, just like surgery, just like possibly cosmetic surgery. Normally we say you're not allowed to cut yourself open. But what if cutting yourself open is going to help you function and act like a normal person? So then we allow chavala, it is mutter. So even that would be, even if there's no danger to a life, to her life, we would allow it even for a social stigma or a familial stigma. But if it's an iser to hurt the fetus, then we would be stricter. So that is the iser chavala. Finally, the fourth one is hatzala. We save people when they are hurt. So either because of lo tamon adam reyecha, hashavet aveda, v'chay bahem, we have a mitzvah asay to preserve life. Now, Rav Lichtenstein did say that the one that makes the most sense in his eyes is the iser ritzicha. But if the issue is hatzalah, so we have to ask, does pikuach nefesh apply to a fetus? Can you violate Shabbos for it? So he says some are matir because it's a nefesh. We'll see that sugya inside in a minute. But that would apply after 40 days. Others are more lenient. Why? Because why are we matir you to violate Shabbos to save the fetus? Because the Gemara in Yoma tells us violate Shabbos now so that a person can keep many Shabboses in the future. So this fetus, if it grows up, could keep many Shabboses in the future. That would apply even before 40 days. And others forbid. You cannot be dofa Shabbos for it. Why? Because pikuach nefesh, and this fetus is not yet a nefesh. So, if it's the first one, it wouldn't apply before 40. But when that's true about violating Shabbos. As in, don't violate Shabbos for this fetus. That doesn't make it mutter to do it. Just don't violate Shabbos for it. Doesn't make it mutter to go ahead and kill it. But B, he says, how can we be matir Shabbat to save it, yet permit its arbitrary abortion? And we will see inside that the Igrosh Moshe makes that exact argument, and that's his proof about its Isser. And C, it would be permitted even after 40, perhaps even the last trimester, so it could be that it doesn't apply at all. All that is when it would apply. Now, what are the heterim? So again, we have the two sides there. If it's an aseh, hatzala, as in go save this fetus, go save this baby, so that's for the welfare of the baby. What if it will be born to a life of suffering due to illness? We wouldn't allow you to kill someone for someone suffering, and we might be allowed to stop you from saving it, just like we would stop you from saving a goseis, a dying person, who is in those last throes. The Ramad discusses not doing something to help him. He doesn't allow you to like cut off his life support, but he would allow you to, you know, not do something to help him in certain circumstances. And the Ran in the Dharam even says you can daven for such a person to die. So this is machloket with a lot of poskim on both sides. It says Rav Lichtenstein, all of this is if you take what he said at the beginning, that it's a iser d'oraita. If it's iser d'rabbana, and again, which he thinks is untenable to say in the last trimester, though it's possible to say it earlier, there are many more factors to consider for leniency. Pain, shalom bayit, etc. Again, it's just a minority view, and tzorach gadol is too broad to be applied practically. And even, he says, when you find poskim who are matir, they thought they were dealing with an exception rather than the general policy. So, in his conclusion, he says that after 40 days, when Sracha Tzicha and Chavala apply, we can't really approve it for psychological or sociological reasons. One, it's possibly Doraita. Two, even if Derabanan, we don't take it lightly. And three, we say that if you can fulfill both, so you can't allow an Isser. So for example, some of these issues, why a person might not want a baby, could be solved with money and counseling, etc. So, Rav Lichtenstein ends with an important line that we should keep in mind as we see the rest of the sources. However, as we noted above, this application of psak must be the outcome of serious deliberation in the broadest sense of the term by committed and observant men of Torah who are, on the one hand, sensitive to both the human and halachic aspects, and on the other hand, possess the stature and ability to confront the halachic problems. And he ends paraphrasing something from English literature, that you should know that halacha loved not the parents less, but the child more. So Rav Lichtenstein ends saying that it's Ritzicha, and therefore would only be allowed with Pikuach Nefesh. But yet, shortly after Rav Lichtenstein's Atzal died, I was in his home where his son, Rav Moshe Lichtenstein, our current Rosh Yeshiva, gave a shir on Rav Lichtenstein's Derech HaPsak. And in that share, he mentioned the following. He knows of cases where people came to Rav Lichtenstein needing an abortion for a specific reason, and he sent them to the Tzitz Eliezer. We're going to see the Tzitz Eliezer inside in a few minutes, and Tzitz Eliezer is more makel on this issue. But in other words, he sent them to somebody who he knew would give them a more lenient psak. So if we just saw his testimony to the Knesset on how he saw the sugya, what could that be based on? So for that, we need to see a little more. So let's begin with source 5, the Shur Rav Poelim, the Ben Ishchai. The Ben Ishchai was asked about a married woman who had an affair, and she wants to take a a pill that would abort the fetus. And he says, I don't want to answer this question. I can't be matir, can't be oser. Let me just tell you three psakim I saw on this topic. Number one, the Chavod Yair. The Chavod Yair says, midoraita, it would be okay. Like he finds reason to be matirit. But, we don't want pritzud, we don't want this idea that, you know, and everybody thinks it's a problem, so, Tosu specifically says that even though it's pater for a Jew, that doesn't make it okay. So he says, the Chavos Yair ner daito de'in la'atir l'chadchila b'davar hazeh. So the Chavos Yair is not matir in the end of the day, because of pritzud, because of snut. Second, the Yaivitz, that's Rabbi Yaakov Emden. So he had a case, and he said, "Vahu daito la'atir b'mamzer." The person was going to have a mamzer. Mamzer ish et ish, lahashchito kishodeno gubar l'chadchila. You know what you should do? You know what you almost, you know, it's almost a mitzvah, according to some when they talk about this, Rabbi Yaakov Emden, but it's certainly allowed, is to kill the fetus because it's going to be a mamzer. But what would that not allow? Since it's all about it being a mamzer, it wouldn't allow it when the woman is single, because she's not chayev mita on it. So it wouldn't apply in the case of a penuya, it wouldn't apply also in the case of rape. Finally, he quotes the Mahar, what he writes as Maharimat, but others quote it as the Maharit, that he says it's allowed, Matir lehejel letzorech ha'im, when it's for the mother's needs, even without a risk to life. And he specifically says, Hecha de'ika pagam mishpacha, bizayon chil Hashem, oh, everybody will know, oh, that family had an affair. Oh, look, what a chil Hashem that would be. Oh, it's so embarrassing for that family. All those reasons, so he would be matir. And then the Rav Polim says, Raket sati livnei ha'shol karma, any megale dati, I'm not going to tell you what I think. Yered varayil is a chacham, show what I just showed you to some posik, and let him paskin. So, the sources he's citing either are that it's allowed me to write but we don't do it, or that it's allowed for very broad reasons. And but then he says, but I'm not telling you. So first of all, focus on his reluctance to paskin. That should give us a little bit about this idea that we can't give a blanket answer, really, about abortion. You have to relate to the specific case, the mental and physical health of people involved. But at the same time, I'm also going to tell you that we'll see that Tzitz Eliezer co-opts this Rav Poelim in his tshuva to be lenient. Yes?
So what happens if you're single and
say... We're going to see.
Wait, and secondly?
And that, you can't use the Yaivitz for the single person. You're going to have to use somebody else for the single person, okay? The Yaivitz specifically says it about an Ish
and
Ish.
And secondly, up until 40 days, is it correct?
30 days usually.
Only after 30 days. So you have like a 10-day period.
Yeah. When the woman misses her period, so that is when you know she's pregnant. Women tend to have their pregnant periods about every 30 days.
So you have like a 10-day window.
About. Yeah. Okay. Fine. So what is this based on? Where would this idea be that it would be allowed? So first, we have some sukkim in the Torah. Source 6, Shemot Perek Aleph, tells us the following. V'chi natsu anashim, two men are fighting. V'nakvu ish aron, while they're fighting, one of them ends up hitting this pregnant woman. V'yatsu yiladeh v'lo yeason, anosh yanesh kasher yashit ala bala isha v'natam v'fli lib. He doesn't kill the woman, but he does kill her fetus. So you know what he has to do? He has to pay her husband for causing the fetus to abort. Ve'im ason yeh. But if he does kill the woman, so then he doesn't pay, because we have a rule called kam le v'derav mineh, that when you kill somebody, you don't also incur a monetary punishment at the same time, because you get a capital punishment. So then, v'natata nefesh tachat nefesh. So we see here in source 6, there's a chiluk in the pasuk. Killing a person warrants death. Killing a fetus warrants a financial penalty. In other words, killing a fetus isn't homicide. It doesn't make it mutter, but it's not punishable like ritzicha. This is clear in many of the Midrashei Halacha, many of the Mefarshim here, many of the Mefarshim in the Gemara on Sanhedrin Ayin Bet that we'll get to source 8 in just a minute. In source 7, the Rambam discusses Chavala. When I discuss Chavala, right, that you can do surgery. So when it comes to Chavala, the Rambam says, Asul adam lachmol bein batzmo bein chaveru, you can't hurt. It's asur. You can't hurt yourself. You can't cut off your fingers. You can't do anything to hurt yourself. If you're fighting, and if you look in the standard printing of the Rambam, there's a star there that says Tzarech Lomar Bizayon. It's going to make them look weird. It's embarrassing. So you are not allowed to do that. This is a source that many use when they infer that you are allowed to have cosmetic surgery. Like if a person has a wart or something, and nobody can look at them, now the person can't get married, they can't get a job, because they can't function because of it, so are they allowed to cut themselves in order to be able to be a fully functioning member of society? So the poskim say yes, inferring from this one that it's only the Isser Chavala from the Pasuk of Lo Yosef Pen, right, that the person, the Beis Din gives a makos, you can't give more makos than you're supposed to give, so it's an Isser to when you're doing it, derech bizayon or nitzayon. It's not when you are helping the person. Yes?
With regard to source 6, isn't it the case that if someone is soon going to die and then someone else kills them, that they're also not chayav mita in such instance?
There are other rules about a person who's what's called a trefa, and they're going to die.
Okay.
But, meaning you're saying the fetus might be like a person who's a trefa.
Okay.
But we'll see that some of the sources cite the source 6 for proving that it's not a capital offense. It's not Mitzicha. Okay. So with that in mind, we can now get to source 8. Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us the following. Sanhedrin Ayin Bet. Kat Amrav Huna, Katan HaRodef Nitan Latzim Lo Nafsho. You see a kid who's running after a person to kill him. And he has a gun, and he knows how to use it. He's 12 years old, so he's a Katan. But he can kill people. So can you kill this person? We have a rule called Rodef. What's the rule of Rodef? We stop the person even by killing him. Kasavar Rodef Eino Tzarech Hatra. You don't have to know for sure that his intentions are to do it, because you can't really know the das of a katan. Loshna gadol, loshna katan. When there's a Rodef at stake, we don't care that it's a katan. We kill the katan. Says Eitvei Rav Chesed Rav Huna. How can you say that? We saw in source 1, the Mishnah in Olot, Yatza Rosho Ein Nogin Bo Lefish Ein Doche Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh. Here we have a baby who's trying to kill its mother, and yet we don't kill it because it has started to come out. So I thought you said a katan who's trying to kill his mother, you do kill it. And here we have a katan who's trying to kill its mother, and we don't kill it. V'amai Rodefu. Where it says, Shani Hatam Di Mishamayu Karat Filei. Who is the Rodef here? Meaning Hashem has made it in the natural way, or the circumstances are that this woman's life is at risk. But it's not something that this baby is doing to his mother. So how do you explain this Gemara? Well, we have the standard way. For example, Rashi, source 9. Calls Manchelo Yatsa Lavir Olam Lav Neveshu. Why do we kill it while it's still a fetus? Because it's not a nefesh. Ain't dochin nefesh mipnei nefesh. So we can't choose between two people which one of them live. So when does it become a nefesh? When it's born. At that point it's a nefesh, and we go, who are you to choose? Who should live, the baby or the mother? But while it's still inside the mother and hasn't yet been born, it is not yet a nefesh. And therefore, we're allowed to kill it. We are allowed to doche nothing mipnei the nefesh of the mother. That is the way many of the Rishonim explain it, possibly majority of the Rishonim explain it. But the Rambam has a different explanation, and that's what makes this sugya more complicated. The Rambam, in source 10, tells us, Harezo mitzvah lo tasei shelo lachush al nefesh arodef. We don't feel bad that you're killing the Rodef. That's the rule. The rule is if somebody's trying to kill somebody else, he's putting his own life at risk because you can kill him scot-free. So far, so good. Which is why, when there's a fetus and it's killing the mother, and if she carries this baby to term, she's going to die. So this baby is considered is a risk to her, and therefore we kill it. But says the Rambam, "Mipnei shehu kerodef." It is like a rodef. He adds in those words. Then, so first of all, he says kerodef, and then he continues. V'imot mishahotzi rosho ein noginbo she'ein docha nefesh mipnei nefesh v'zeu tivo shel olam. Once it sticks its head out, don't kill it. That is tivo shel olam. So how do we deal with this Rambam that seemingly contradicts the Gemara we just read in Source 8 on Hedron Ayin Bet? Much ink has been spilled on this topic. I'll tell you, there's at least 10 explanations I found of Chuvos trying to explain this Rambam. I cite one or two examples for time's sake in our hour-long shir. So the Shur Torah Chesed of the Lubliner Rav makes 2 points. In order to understand these 2 points, first let's see one more Rambam in Source 11. This is like the Rambam in the previous page. Like there's Rotzeach HaShmira Nefesh, Perek Aleph, so right beforehand, the Eschov L'mazik, Perek Chet. And it has the following case. Sfina Shechashkol Dishaver, Mikoven HaMasoi, V'amad Echad Me'en, V'kel Mimasa'av, Yishlich B'yam Patr. You have a boat. The boat's going to drown. The boat's too heavy. So what does somebody do? He goes over to somebody's suitcase, throws it over the side. Now the boat's not going to drown. Everybody's saved. Along comes a person and says, hey, that was my suitcase. I had all my stuff in there. You owe me $100. Does he owe him $100 or not?
No.
Why? Says the Rambam, Shemasa Sheba Kimo Rodev Achareim the Hargam Mitzvah Rabba Asah Sheshlich Boshiyam. Because the suitcase here was a Rodev. And it's like a mitzvah that he did by throwing the suitcase over and saving everybody on the boat. Well, once again, what language does the Rambam use? Like a rodev. Now, let me ask you, does the suitcase know what it's doing?
No.
Okay. Much like?
Fetus.
Good. Okay, so you're thinking already the way some think. So, says Shutor Chesed, the Lubliner Rav. He makes 2 points. Number one is Chiluk Lizot Nachon Rambam Anal the Iri B'Makshel Leilid the He Yoshevet Al Hamashber V'Lav Yarechimo. One distinction between the Rambam, meaning why would the Rambam be Matir in one case and not in the other case, is a distinction between when she's on the birthing table. When she's on the birthing table, the fetus becomes its own being. Until then, it's what we call Yerech Imo. It's like a limb of its mother. This is found as well in the Achiezer of Chaim Ozer Grzinski. And he says, even the Rambam would agree that Ubar or Yerech Imo applies until the birth process has begun. Which means the real reason is not because of Rodef, but because of Nefesh. In other words, Rambam agrees with Rashi. That's the first point the Torah Chesed makes. The second point the Torah Chesed makes is the following. He says the fetus is like a pursuer, kirodef, just like we said the non-human cargo on a ship in Source 11. This is something that Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer writes in the name of Rav Chaim, that there's two dinim of rodef. There's one kind of rodef, person with da'at trying to kill somebody else, and there's a second kind for items without da'at. But it's clear to us that the Mishnah says a fetus may or must be killed prior, as long as it's before birth, to save the mother's life. So the big question is, does this apply without that factor, it is forbidden? In other words, it's very clear to everyone. The fetus, it's still a fetus. It's gonna kill the mother. What do? Kill it. That's clear and agreed upon by everyone. Got it so far? Okay. Now I can take that two ways. One, therefore, when it is not going to kill the mother, it is usher. Meaning is the corollary between you're allowed to kill it when it's going to kill the mother, meaning that if it's not going to kill the mother, you're not. Or that is an example of one of the times you're allowed to kill it. You're allowed to kill it if it's going to kill the mother, also for some other reasons. Got it? That's the big question. Is it only, if I had a marker, I would make like a chart here. I don't. And I looked in the other room, so don't bother. Is it only when it's going to kill the mother or not? Can we understand from this that it, since it's allowed when it's going to kill the mother, meaning if it's not going to kill the mother, it's not allowed? Yes?
When you say the Iranian business, is this talking about any specific time period or at any stage that it's in the mother's stomach?
As long as it's still in the mother's stomach, it hasn't come out, it's explicit, it's a Mishnah, it's a Gemara, if it's still a fetus and it's going to kill the mother, we kill it. If her life, imminent danger is at risk, we kill it. That is agreed. Okay? What's not agreed is if we kill it in other circumstances as well. But one possibility to say that is we kill it, since the Mishnah just lists this as the time that you're allowed to kill it, is when it's going to kill its mother. In other words, when it's not going to kill its mother, it is still murder. It is, without it being a rodef, it's still murder. And who says this? Well, we saw it in the Rambam. And Rav Moshe Feinstein learns from the Rambam that without the justification of the fetus being a rodef, it's murder. This is also found in Rav Chaim on the Rambam. This is found in Rav Unterman in a sefer called Shevet Miyehuda. So let us see the argument of the Igros Moshe inside. Source 13. Igros Moshe wrote this in Tavshin Lamed Zayin, 1976, to his son-in-law Rav Tendler. And he said to him, Hinei b'davar harigat ubar b'mei imo b'yisrael mefurash in Toso, that it's usher. It is so clearly usher to Toso, and it's so clearly usher to b'yisrael ikam mitzvah la'arok k'dei la'atzil ha'im in ken k'shehikshu diyeh usher b'yisrael namihu behefrik shegam b'yisrael u'mitzad etzer etzicha. It's so clear that it's usher for a Jew, and it's so clear that the reason it's usher is for etzicha. That's what Rav Moshe Feinstein said. So then, I told you we have 10 different explanations of way to make this Rambam work with this Gemara. We have the Torah Chesed, the Achiezer, we have others. So, why did they all say that? Because that Akasha on the Rambam says, Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rabbi Rambam, V'yalfa Rotzeh, Mefurish Od Yoter Dar Rigat Chakuvar Hu Retzicha Mamish, Linyan HaIsrik Retzicha Mamish, it is nonsense to say that the Rambam wasn't careful with his lashon. The katar tam sheker sheleka klav v'tam emen u'machon sheleka itzer ritzicha. It is silly to say that the reason it's allowed is because it's not ritzicha. Gam hu zilzol al kol pizkei Rambam shebechol sefro. You're being mezalzal on everything the Rambam ever said if you say that. And you're being mezalzal on the nosei kelim u'nen who point that out. So how do I answer this question on the Rambam? You want to know why would it be allowed until that point to save it? So he says, well, you look at Reb Chaim on the Rambam. You can't just get rid of the Rambam because you have a kasha on the Rambam. Okay, especially when you are gaonim that are not on the madriga on the Rambam. So check out what Reb Chaim said. We are now about 10 lines at the bottom. Ayin mashatireitz mara de doro racharonim shlefleinu agon Reb Chaim Alevi. And he says, Arei ketavti shetami shamaya karafile inotam lomar shein rodef el de bishvil zeh havo shneihem rodfim. It's not that when it's mishamaya, it's not a rodef. It's mishamaya, they are now both rodfim. This one is going to kill that one, that one's going to kill that one. Only one of them is going to live. Sometimes you don't know who the rodef is. Which one of them is going to kill the other one? Therefore, we have a rule. If it's still inside, we know which one wins. The mother wins. If it's outside, we can't do anything to save it. meaning taking Lashi's Rasha, and it's not a nefesh. So we know the Uvar is the Rodev Aim, Eino Rodefet. She is not trying to kill this thing. It's clearly the Uvar is trying to kill her. That is what Rav Moshe says. So he says, until that point it's not nefesh, so we save the mother, but it's clear to all that it's Ritzicha, and it's only allowed for a real case of saving the mother's life, and not any other issue. And then he goes into a long thing showing you that's even Rashi's view. He doesn't even accept that Rashi says anything else but this. Now let's go to 10 lines down in the second column. Specifically, until they say the woman will definitely die, but not for any other reason. Even if the doctors tell you this fetus will not live long, even if the doctors say these children are going to be Tay-Sachs babies. Even if they tell they'll be Tay-Sachs, Asr, you still can't kill that fetus. Came in the la aim leka sakana, in a road in la tira, filushet sari yekadomod, even if it's going to be so painful for the kid, the gamichluava emiza, they're going to get very sick watching their kid suffering like that. Nonetheless, since the only permission you have to kill a fetus is when the mother's life is at risk, anything that's not the mother's life that is at risk makes it usher to abort the fetus. That is Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he says this so much that he says, "Mitamza Marti LaRovim Shomri Torah Shelo Yasu B'Dikazo." Don't even do this check. Ki Matuel Yemizek Yasurim LaPil. But you're going to tell them they're going to have a Tay-Sachs baby, and what are they going to want to do? They're going to want to kill it. So that's Lifnei Iver. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a proof, one we mentioned, alluded to at the beginning. He says that we know that just about every prohibition in the Torah is set aside for pikuach nefesh, to save a life. So this would be the litmus test. If you can violate Shabbos in order to save the fetus, so it's a life. If not, it's not a life. And what do we see? Lo and behold, are you allowed to violate Shabbos in order to save its life? And the answer is yes. So says Rav Moshe Feinstein, he says, "Shelachin lo muvan hecha rasha Rabban letlopo buki sriki to say the silly svara." So the Sri Deish says this in the Rabban, she is the mutter largo, koshekin shalech heal that say lo, but come the mutter the chal shabbat shu davar shaloni tana meraklal. You cannot say, you can be machal Shabbos in order to save this fetus, and yet it's mutter to kill this fetus. The two of those don't go hand in hand. Got it? In other words, let's rephrase that. We violate Shabbos in order to save this. Do we violate Shabbos in order to save things that aren't alive? No. So here we're going to violate Shabbos to save the fetus. So how can you tell me that it's also mutter to kill a fetus? We're willing to violate Shabbos to save it. That's Rav Moshe Feinstein's proof. And he says, it is clear that the Mishnah... I'm sorry. Obviously, if you need to save the mother's life, then we can. But the question is the unborn child's life. Let's say a woman, she's going to live. The doctor tells you she'll just lose the pregnancy. She'll be fine. But if we rush her to the hospital now on Shabbos, we can save the fetus. Do you do that? And the answer is yes. 100% yes. So apparently, it's a proof that we can violate Shabbos to save the fetus. So Rav Moshe Feinstein says, then how can you then tell me that it's mutter to kill the fetus if we're willing to be mechal Shabbos in order to save it? So he says, that doesn't make sense. And yes, I've seen people called the Achiezer, we said Ruchaim Ozer Grzynski, or the Yaivitz to be mater to kill a mamzer. he says, that's based on a flawed reading of the Rambam. Had they seen the Reb Chaim that I quoted, had they seen the Yerushalmi, they never would have said that, and therefore, it's very important that nobody thinks that way. It is usher to kill any fetus except to save the life of the life of the mother. And then he ends. And I wrote all this. Because we've come to a world where people think it's allowed. Many places allow you to kill a fetus. Including the leaders in Eretz Yisrael. Last week in the news, it was announced that Tzahal, last year, aborted 900 babies and cost of $1 million. People are concerned about the $1 million more than the 900 babies. And therefore, Tzahal has now started giving out birth control to their chayalot for free. That was in the news last week. 900 babies. So, even in Medina Yisrael, the car nergu barim lein mismarshim zman hazeh ha'od yesh tzorech lasot siyag la'torah. The kol shekin shelo lasot kulo b'sritzicha chamar b'yotah. So it's very important to protect the Torah and not to make any leniencies, especially when we're talking about ritzicha. Shlachein nishtomamti. Therefore, I was so shocked that there was a chacham in Eretz Yisrael who wrote in Choveret Asya Yud Gimel. And what is Choveret Asya Yud Gimel? Asya is a medical halacha. And who wrote that tshuva? That is source 16, the Tzitz Eliezer. Okay? Who said that you can kill a Tay-Sachs baby? And he wrote that because some people think it's Midrabanan, and not Midaraita, and even it's Midrabanan, it's like this light Midrabanan, and the Maharit, and he misread the Maharit, and he misread the Ibitz, and the Yesh Tzad HaHakel means that there's many Tzadim Esser also, and he's way wrong, and we're going to see when we get to that tshuva in a minute that he's matur to kill a Tay-Sachs baby even into the seventh month. And he came up with that seventh month out of nowhere. There's no source anywhere that says anything about a seventh month. So it's clear to me, all the poskim, whether they have Tay-Sachs or not, you cannot kill anything unless the life of the mother is at stake. So, that is Rav Moshe Feinstein. Clearly, like the Rambam, and he says, you can't just dismiss the Rambam. The Rambam was this really great person. So even if I told you that so many of the Rishonim disagreed with this Rambam, the simple reading of the Rambam, he says, you can't just dismiss the Rambam, and we passing like the Rambam. Before seeing the Tzitz Eliezer, I know I'm late on time, but before seeing the Tzitz Eliezer, let's look at one more source. We have a Gemara in Erech in source 14 that tells us, Ha'isha shiyatza li'areik, ein mamtina lash achatele. For some reason, a woman is required to get capital punishment. They're going to kill her. But she's pregnant. So do we wait for her to give birth, or do we kill her even though she's pregnant? And the Mishnah says we kill her even though she's pregnant. Ha'isha shiyatza li'mashver. But if she was already giving birth, mamtina lash achatele, then we wait for her to give birth. The Gemara says, pshita kufahi. Of course we don't wait for her to give birth. It's part of her body. Pshita, it's obvious. It's obviously part of her body. So what might you think? Well, we saw in source, I think it was source 6, that the Psukim in Shemot tell us, the fetus belongs to the husband, and we don't want to cause him a loss. Kamash Rolan, no, we still kill her like that. But then the Gemara tells us, what's the actual din? Yashua la Mashber, if she did it, why do we wait? Came in the Akar, Gufacharina. Since it's come out, it's now a Gufacharina. Until then, it was part of the woman. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Ha'isha Ha'yotza Le'areg, she's going to be killed, and she's pregnant. You know what we do first? Makinota Keneged Beit Herayon, Kadesh Yamur of Latchilo. First, we kill the fetus. Why? It is disgraceful for the woman that she'll be hanging there and her fetus will still be moving around inside her. Kadesh Lo Tavo. Day in evil, or as a result, she'll be publicly bleeding from labor, it'll be disgraceful for her, so we kill the fetus first. So, the fetus is part of the mother, it's executed with her, but then she sits on the birthing stool, it's considered separate. And the Gemara says, Pshita, the fetus is not a separate life. And then the Gemara says, they kill the fetus first to prevent her indignity. Okay, first of all, that's a case of an abortion, not to save the life of the mother, is that clear? Why are we killing this baby? Because it's in bizayon to her that she'll be dead and the fetus will still be alive. That's not to save her life. So clearly we have a case of doing something to the fetus not to save the life of the mother. Yes? Okay. But it's not only to save the life of the mother. You're saying it's inevitable death, and now we're just doing it 10 minutes earlier.
Right, so I don't know if this is because it's not becoming an ambition.
Well?
It's not becoming an ambition, it's
bizayon. It's bizayon to... Meaning it's now being allowed for bizayon rather than pikuach nefesh. But like he pointed out, it's still going to happen in 10 minutes. Okay. So says the Tzitz Eliezer, source 15. He says, well, it's clear to us that Jews aren't killed for killing a fetus. We saw Rashi Sanhedrin saying that the reason is because the fetus is not a nefesh. But we have a Rambam here, and the Rambam is self-contradictory. So, lo muvanim gam etzem divrei Rambam. Why isn't it a rodeif beforehand? And why does he add in these words that it's tivo shel olam, and then it's still considered a rodeif? That doesn't make any sense. So he says, many tried to explain this Rambam. He says, we know from the Mechilta that killing a fetus is not murder, it's financial. So how do we understand the Rambam? So first he cites the Torah Chesed. We saw that in source 11 or so, as well as other explanations. And he says, and look at all those explanations. This is the diuk he makes. From all those explanations, no one would think or explain the Rambam that way, that it's only allowed to kill the fetus in order to save the life of the mother. We're about 4 or 5 lines to the bottom. Hakopan and Yotzei Lanu Mikol Amor, Sheshom Echad Migdolei HaPoskim Lo Allah Adato Lefaresh Bekamen HaDivrei Rambam. Nobody thought that's what the Rambam could be saying. It is so illogical and not fitting to the sugya that that's what he could be saying. In addition, he tells you, we have Shugoni Batshrai, who tells us the following. That the Rambam, when he discusses his chiluk, is only talking about the way you kill it. Whether you should try to kill it first with a drug or by hand. Al etzem aheter, he is modeh, that it's because of nefesh. So therefore, there's no proof from the Rambam, the Fiza ein bechal hochecha midivrei Rambam, Isser Hariga Ubarin Yisrael. There's no proof from the Rambam that there's any Isser to kill a fetus. Then he cites the Maharit, who we said that for Nivul Ha'im, it's allowed. And Nivul Ha'im, we know, includes anything that's the Tzorech of the mother. He says this is clue from the Chavad Yair, but as an added proof, see the Rav Poalim and the Torah Chesed. Remember, what did we say the Rav Poalim said? That's the Ben Ishchai. He said, I'm not poskening this. But then he cites some sources that show you how he thinks. So he includes them in that. And he says, by the way, the Chavas Yair and the Yaivitz, why do they say abortion is Aser? They say it's Aser because it's Shechvat Zera, Shchatat Zera. You're wasting seed by aborting. So yes, by the way, the Shud Beit Yehuda, I told you that was Rav Unterman, rejects them both to Lachar Yad because... He says, "Aksat nashim shemit abro v'lo yirtzui buran otozman miksat mehen emyera shit abro mehen akah koshishin la'inara olasakanan yalad yonek ozer refur v'sam yidum etzlan kedei la'afikotino k'mgeish kashas izrvazeh." What was he dealing with? He didn't want people to just haphazardly be taking birth control and aborting fetuses for the wrong reasons, and therefore he rejects them. But really, why was he rejecting them? Because of those motives. But really, they might be right that the reason behind an iser for abortion was hashchatat zera. So then, how does he end? He gives you 18 rules for abortion. I'll go through some of them quickly, like his sikum. Sikum ayotze, bold in each of the letters. Aleph. Ben narag narag ubarin yishdash neinu narag. A non-Jew is killed for this. And there is a shita that he's not. Bet, Yisrael inu nerach al ubarin. He is not killed for this. Gimel, kishiyesh tzoref adin notin shemotu l'sadar ish apala. When we need an abortion, ish la tif la nivatseya zot aydei rofi Yisrael. Therefore, if you have a choice, who should perform an abortion? This is like a rare in halacha. Usually, sometimes our solution is to have a non-Jew do it. Here, it's better to have a Jew do it. Number 5, let's go to skip to A. Even though he's not killed, it's still Asr Midoraita. Vav, Yes, so Rish Gam Yisr Torah Lecha. Some say it's not Asur Midoraita, Yesh Raka Yisr Midorabanan. Some say it's only Mr. Midorabanan. Zayin. Yesh Nam Gam Asur Rish Gam Midorabanan. Yisr Shish Mazeu Kalush. It's a light Yisr Midorabanan. Chet, you should know, Al Pitor and Nistar, according to Kabbalah, Yisr Apalat Ubar Chomoran Ma'od. I can't even describe how badly they describe an abortion in Kabbalah. That's number 8. Tet. But when a woman's life is in danger, we allow abortion. Bishufi is, you know, kind of easily translated, easy. Like, when the woman's life is in danger, he's saying there's not much to discuss. We save the woman's life by killing the fetus. Number 10. Gam kishu mitzav rutash lisha rofeif ma'od. She is... would get ill, l'shem refuata, l'shkata machoveah, for her pain, big pain, machoveah gdolin, darash l'batzeah badaluvar, so then we need to perform an abortion, afo bichein sakanam ha-mashit, even though there's no danger to her, you know, death, gam kein yesh makom latir la-sotza, even that, there is room to be matir, kefire on eneo, mora, you know, go to a posik. Number 11, kein yesh latir kaneskal kishami neked, if a woman is nursing, and she gets pregnant, you can also abort it. Number 12. Ishet Isha Zinta, she's married. Or Nansa, somebody's raped. Vinidavra got pregnant. Afilu Me'akum, even from a non-Jew. She ain't a blood mamzer. Chazer B'tshuva. Mitzadim Kama Mikdoli Aposkin. Lahatil Isadar Apala. Imishum Bezyona. Imishum Chil Hashem. Pagam. Bizayon Mishmacha. We allow, in the case of a rape, in the case of a mamzer, to abort. 13. That being said, the seder of Allah kolim shenimalu arvim yom eriyona, best to do it early on. Gam the rabbi kolim yom chadashim eriyona, either before 40 days or before 3 months. He'll kill harbei milasad alachar mikain. He agrees that doing it later is tougher halachically. But yesh alkein letzadi lahati letzader apala kolim shenimalu la, try to do it earlier. Finally, let's skip to the last one. Yudchet. Don't take it lightly. The person asking the question, you stop people from sleeping around when you don't take abortion lightly. Source 16, very quickly, that was the one that Rav Moshe quoted. How can anybody say this? So the Tzitz Eliezer was asked about aborting a Tay-Sax baby, and he said, Al Yisoda Berurim, what I said in the tshuva that we just read in Source 15, Kim Mechgam Yuchad Azeh Asher Totza Ko Chamurot Imham Shekharot Arayon Veleida Afshar La'atir Afsakat Arayon Ashiva Chodeshim. You can abort a Tay-Sax baby until 7 months. By the way, he adds in, since the, remember, he said that the Yavetz and the Chavos Yair said that the reason for abortion being ulcer is because of Hashchata Zera. So you know what? Why not have a female doctor do the abortion? Because women aren't as obligated. He says, "Machloket nashim ha'enan mitzuvot al kach ledat rova poskim." They're not mitzuvot in hashchata zera, and therefore they should be the one to perform an abortion. Finally, that was the Tzitz Eliezer. The Shevet Alevi Rav Wasner says, "You know, Rav Moshe's big proof was that it's not possible to say that you can be mechal shabbos to save the fetus." And yet, under certain circumstances, you could kill it. So you know what he says? That's exactly what I say. Can you be Mechal Shabbos to save the fetus? It's because of the... It's not nefesh, because of nefesh, but save it now so it can keep a lot of Shabboses later. A fetus can keep a lot of Shabboses later. That's why we save it. That doesn't mean that right now it's a nefesh. So now, under the appropriate circumstances, you could indeed abort it. That is what the Shevet Alevi says. Yes? So the Tay-Sax baby has a life of suffering, let's see it, in the Rav in Source 18. Memories of a Giant in the Book of Espedim for Rav Salvechik Zatzal. And one of the Maspidim wrote, on one occasion I heard a lecture from Rav Hanan Rosh Yeshiva, who paskened the pregnant woman whose amniotesis showed fetus was Tay-Sax was not permitted an abortion. So I had a meal with the Rav and I asked him, and he answered immediately, a Tay-Sax fetus can be aborted up to the 6th month. I must have raised my eyebrows evincing surprise. The Rav said calmly to me, have you ever seen a Tay-Sax baby? I replied that I had not. He said, I have. We have a Tay-Sax baby in Boston. I tell you that an abortion is permitted through the 6th month. It was quite clear to me that human values informed this decision the rough. There's incredible suffering in the life of a Tay-Sachs baby, and therefore, he was matir. By the way, I'll add that many are matir in the case of multiple fetuses. It's Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rav Yashiv, or matir, like when a person gets pregnant, you know, sometimes it happens also with IVFs, because there's fertility drugs, and they'll be pregnant with many, many, many babies, having quintuplets or whatever, and it's probably not safe to generally to have more than twins or triplets. And so when you have multiple fetuses that she's pregnant with more than that, so we're matir to kill the beyond that number, Shlomo Zalman, Rav Yashiv. Okay, one last story before I sum up. It's a transcript of, I wrote down what Rav Schechter said, it's a recording of Yitorah. I wrote you the link there if you want to listen to it more. He goes through this whole sugya, explaining what I showed you, the Rambam, is it an Isser Chavala, is it an Isser Ritzicha, the Linerov, Rashi, you know, he goes through that all. Then he says, last time I was in London, I was discussing with one of the Rabbanim. There was a single girl who was going to Beis Yaakov, and she became pregnant. They'd have to throw the girl out of the Beis Yaakov. The girl's family was not observant at all, and she wouldn't be religious if they threw her out. How's she going to be from? She doesn't from family, and she's not going to go to the Beis Yaakov anymore. So the shaila was, should they allow the girl to perform abortion? And then he said something in Yiddish, and mine isn't great, and machashrei, something like that. Don't tell anyone about it, and try to raise her as an observant girl, or say, no, you are not allowed to perform an abortion. So in that case, it's in the best interest of the girl. We said, when it comes to an Isser Chavala, that we can't just cut off one of your fingers. It's not like cutting off the fifth finger for no purpose. There was good purpose. She'll be able to lead a normal life later on. So that's a big machloket. According to the Rambam, the only heter you have to perform an abortion is when the mother's life is in danger. And here the fetus has the status of a rodef. According to many other Rishonim, it's really only an Isser Chavala. Even for cosmetic purposes, we allow kavalos. So if a woman is pregnant, she just doesn't want to have a baby. That's not a good reason. It's normal. People have babies. If having a baby is going to cause her to get weak and sick and suffer the rest of her life, according to the other Rishonim, would be mutter, not like the Rambam. So this is the question. How do you paskin? Rav Soloveitchik used to say, like Rav Moshe Feinstein, how can you paskin against the Rambam? How can a person take the responsibility to paskin against the Rambam? Then a little bit later, he tells one more story. The OU had a Shabbaton in Rochester. There was a doctor there who did his residency in Eretz Yisrael. And he got close to the Rosh Shlomo Zalman. Now he's back in New York, and a woman converts. And she was heavy, so she didn't find a shidduch for a long time. And then she became pregnant, eventually. And she found out the baby was Tay-Sachs. They want to know, can they perform an abortion? The rabbi didn't know. He went to this doctor. He said, can you call Rosh Shlomo Zalman and ask him? I know you know him. So he calls Rosh Shlomo Zalman up and tells him the whole story. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, you know my opinion. I don't agree with the Tzitz Eliezer. There's nothing to discuss. The doctor says, maybe you think about it overnight and I'll call you back. He says, I don't know why you can call back, but okay, call me back tomorrow. The doctor says, he called him back the next day and he says, Tagid l'isha, sheyesh posek meforsam Yerushalayim at Tzitz Eliezer. The woman's not a Talmud of mine. She doesn't have to listen to my psak. Tell her that Tzitz Eliezer says it's mutter and shad l'chak. So even though Shlomo Zalman held, like Rav Moshe Feinstein here, that it's only usher, it's only mutter when the woman's life is in danger, and a Tay-Sachs baby is not that case, he does know that the Tzitz Eliezer is a legitimate psak, and the Tzitz Eliezer is more mekel, so send her to her, to him for the more mekel shita, so their legitimate false game will hold. It's not an abortion, is a big issue, it's a big shav, and maisa, when it's mutter, when's it usher. So, those are the sources. So now I told you it's not a political shir, it's a halachic shir. Judaism doesn't fit into a box of pro-choice or pro-life. Sometimes you hear it claimed that Judaism believes abortion is not allowed except when the life of the mother is threatened. Is that true? Well, according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it's true, based on the Rambam. And we can't dismiss such a view forthright. Just like Rav Moshe says, we can't dismiss the Rambam. Who are you to dismiss the Rambam? I'm telling you, we can't just dismiss Rav Moshe Feinstein. Okay, Rav Moshe Feinstein was this tremendous goyim, tremendous posek, and he bucking kol haTorah kula, and his psak was widely accepted, and he was right. Either he had siyata d'shmaya or incredible seichel, he's always right, or something about him. He was a major goyim. We can't just dismiss him. I remember Rav Lichtenstein saying once that when Rav Moshe Feinstein of Sack came out against Meshtzitzis, all the Svarim stores in America took them off the shelves. They stopped selling them because that was the effect of the Pesach of Moshe Feinstein. So, with good reason, his view might be presented as mainstream. But, based on the share we just heard now, that can't be presented as the majority view. If we count Rishonim evenly, or Poskim evenly, which I'm not saying we do, Rambam's big, or Moshe Feinstein's big, so then there's a much larger group in quantity that allows it in cases even where the mother's life is not in danger. It should be clear that those expanding circumstances are by no means the minority or in obscure cases. Those are, at least quantitatively, the majority. Quantitatively. Not saying qualitatively, Moshe Feinstein, Rambam, but quantitatively the majority. So now, the range of disagreement is not, it's allowed 100% of the body, my body, 100% of the time, you know the phrase, my body, my choice. I can't tell you Judaism endorses that. It doesn't. Okay? But forbidden 100% of the time, like life begins at conception, it's not. It's clearly forbidden 90% plus of the time. Yes? You agree with me that we're talking somewhere between 90-something and 90-something. Right? So, but life is complex. I have our shirts here say, Akol Morkav. Life is complex. It's not just black and white. So in a real Shaila, what do? You go to a bona fide posek. He's going to consider all the areas for leniency. But yet, he's not going to be flippant about the potential isser involved. So the conclusion to the halachic stance is, it depends. So consult a posek. But because of this complexity, that's why it can't be a political discussion. I'll add that we have an alumnus named Rabbi Shlomo Brody. Some of you, I don't know, do sometimes the tikva stuff. He's very involved. He wrote an article, not on a Jewish site, on like a conservative lowercase c, on a right-wing politically site about abortion. And he pointed out that there's a lot of, from the politically conservative perspective, that Democratic politicians have gained a lot of traction on the issue by pointing out that the pro-life stance doesn't leave a lot of nuance or leave room for issues. For example, doesn't make an exception in the case of rape or incest. You have cases where Republican politicians have said things like, in the case of a bona fide rape, the woman's body has a way of shutting it down so she doesn't get pregnant. Or even in the case of rape, it's still a gift from God. And those statements get taken by the politicians and talking heads and journalists and pundits, and they make a lot of hay with that. And as much as one can argue to be pro-life to stop the majority of cases that halacha does not condone, one can seemingly make the argument that because of this issue, one should advocate the pro-choice. That way, in the circumstances, one will be permissible, according to the Tzitz Eliezer and not according to Moshe Feinstein. But there are cases where it is permissible, so that maybe in those cases, you want it to be safe, affordable, accessible. So therefore, it's a complicated issue, and that's why I didn't focus on the politics of it, just on the halachic sugya. That we should all leave this year, as much as there's Judaism stance on abortion, as much as there's a consensus on it, we got it. We know that we have those who say it's only allowed in the threat to the life of the mother, and there are those who expand it a little bit more. Terrible life of suffering like a Tay-Sachs baby. We saw multiple fetuses. Bizayon to the family, pegam mishpacha, in the case of a mamzer. We saw a little bit more, but not so much more. Not just, I don't feel like having a baby. As far as I can tell from the sugya. And with that, I finish. And any questions? No? Okay. Good.